You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live.
Hello, welcome back to the Claret and Blue podcast. My name is Dan Rowenson. I'm joined as ever by Ashley Priest. Ashley, how are you, pal?
Yeah, all good. Friendly cancelled. A bit disruptive, isn't it? Pre-season so far, but can't be helped. So.
Yeah, COVID reasons with Forest, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, exactly. So I think they'll have to have a run out today between themselves, but Bristol Saturday and Sevilla the following week, and we're all good to go. So yeah.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to tune into Villa TV this afternoon at 1 o'clock to watch Villa play. I was actually quite excited to watch them. I know it's behind the closed doors at Bodymore, but still want to see the players play football when we've not seen them for so long. Yeah. So yeah, quite disappointing to see that one cancelled, but we understand why with the safety reasons. So yeah. Before we get into that little topic, new background as well, by the way, for the podcast, new season, new background, like you said just before we started, inspired by the new kit. So I'm glad you don't think it just looks like an absolute Claret and Blue mess. If you are watching along live on Facebook at the moment, you can ask us questions and we'll go through those as we go. We did a little kind of quick fire session the last time we were on, so Ash, we'll do, pick a number between 15 and 20 for me.
18.
18, right. We'll do an 18-minute Q&A. I'll set a time on my phone after we started talking about Forest. So first of all, just like the ramifications of the Forest cancellation, then will Villa start another friendly? What's happening back for them today? They're all geared up, ready to play. So just kind of explain that situation and why that game's been cancelled for those that missed it.
Yeah, I think the players were informed this morning around about 9 a.m. And a bit of to-ing and fro-ing. Forest are going to play an under-18 team at one stage, and Villa weren't up for that, wouldn't have been competitive enough. So it got cancelled. The announcement was at 11 a.m, 2 hours before kickoff. And those who purchased the game on Villa TV will get a refund. And yeah, Forest got a couple of COVID cases in their camp. So a bit of a precaution more than anything. I think the Villa, the first team squad, have a game between themselves, have an in-house friendly on the academy pitch. It's probably happening now, to be fair. So yeah. I get some minutes in the legs there. And yet, they need it, don't they, to be fair. In terms of booking in another friendly, there's a window next week, in midweek, before the Sevilla one, that they could get something sorted then. But nothing confirmed otherwise. So, yeah, Bristol and Sevilla are the final two as it stands. And I think they'll be in-house friendly ongoing now.
Right, we'll start time. We've got 18 minutes, the number that you suggested. So we'll try and do our best to fill this time. We need your questions to come through and fill 18 minutes worth of chat. We'll start with the one here from Stephen, because he said, "Missed the start, lads. No worries, Steve. Only just started. Did not miss much." He says, "Is the Bristol game still on Saturday? So he's got tickets. No rumours of that being cancelled yet. It was Forest Ends that have cancelled through COVID."
I'm down to Bristol Saturday. Yeah, just remember it's a 1 o'clock kickoff and not a 3 o'clock one.
Weird, isn't it? That. Why is it 1 o'clock?
I don't know, really. Just trying to getting used to the lunchtime kickoffs, I guess. But I don't know, really. I mean, today's was meant to be 1 o'clock, so they wanted to match it up recovery wise. The 1 o'clock on Saturday. So, I mean, it suits me. I'm back home earlier. I watch boxing on the night then and back earlier. So yeah, on to Bristol Saturday. Looking forward to that one. It's got to be some big improvements compared to last Saturday in Stoke. That was pretty poor.
Yeah. Just back to today's little in-house friendly that they'll be playing, obviously two sides of Villa players against each other. What will that game be like? Will they kind of set up as if it was a proper game against an opposition? Will they kind of put both kits on and go through it as if it was a real game with the team talk and tactics and stuff? Will it be a very casual 11v11 go for it?
Yeah, I think it'd be quite casual, to be fair.
If it was against Forest, it'd be friendly, but it wouldn't be casual. You'd still have a bit of a thing against another team. It's not quite the same as it playing teammates.
Well, it's probably a bit more competitive amongst the Villas lot today. I mean, Gilbert won a proof of points against Cash. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, fair. Like that.
So, yeah, I mean, the youth lads, I think Louis Barry's involved today, perhaps. He want to prove his points. So there'll be loads to go at. Wesley, he needs to prove himself again after Saturday's debacle.
He won't be getting sent off today.
I don't know. Hansen in one corner and Wesley in the other. Are you back in there?
I'd back Wesley, to be fair. He's a scary guy. But a few more questions coming through. There's actually loads coming through, so do keep them coming. We've got 150 live viewers on Facebook and still about 15 minutes to go. There's a lot of Grealish stuff, but we'll get to that in a minute. I'm trying to keep it friendly related for the moment. Tim Fisher says, are we in for any centre-backs now Revan has gone on loan? Surely we don't want to be left short at the back. And this is a talking point I think we had maybe a week or so ago, saying, well, if we get injured with Cash and Mings and Hawes gets injured, we can rely on one of the youth centre-backs to step up. Now one of those youth centre-backs gone out on loan, it does look like we're going to have to sign a striker, doesn't it?
Striker?
A centre-back. It's live. Go for it, Ash.
he's gone to Grimsby Town in the National League. That'll be 5 weeks to go up there, Seb. He's done well. He's fielding it against Walsall and Stoke, so fans have seen him then. He's more of a left-back, like you say. And yeah, rises on Saturday. I think Villa are short at centre-half. They're an injury or two away from a bit of a disaster there, aren't they? So it's something that needs to be addressed for me, but whether they do that, I don't know. There is a Seb's brother, Dominic. He's at the club still. He's come back from a knee injury, though. So, yeah, I mean, Bjorn Engels, that happened quite quickly. I've said this before, his sale, he went quite quickly. That wasn't planned. I think Villa are short there. To go in the season with Tyrone, Ezri and Courtney Horse, he's solid enough, but I think they need one more. They're going to fight on three fronts this season.
Yeah.
I think they need one more just to be sure. So I think that could, a deal there could go on later in the window. People are obviously aware of Axel Tuanzebe's availability. So discussions may be there. Yeah, Daniel, mentioned that too, and Zabi. That fits the bill for me, but it's whether he wants to come in and play second fiddle behind Ezri Konsa. That's the big question there. So, yeah, I don't think they are pressed on that as it stands, but I expect them to sign a new centre-back in the upcoming weeks before deadline day.
Yeah. My slip of the tongue there said we need to sign a striker. I feel like we probably still do need to sign a striker. Keenan Davis has been mooted with a loan out this season. That seems like that will happen. Talk of Stoke City, which could be the one. And Wesley gets sent off in a pre-season friendly against Stoke City. And you think, I don't know, is he good enough to be, is he reliable enough to be back up? And there's fans in our comment section saying, oh, his attitude's not right, get rid of him, etc. I don't know if I go that far extreme, just off a red card in a friendly, but as a footballer, I feel like we lack the same depth up front that we do at centre-back. So, slip of the tongue, but a valid point that we probably need a striker as well.
Yes, but if Watkins gets injured, then you see question marks coming out then, don't they? Who's going to fill in? Who can score the goals and who can be that relentless pressing machine up front? And is Wesley the answer? We're not nobody knows, are they? Nobody knows.
It's unknown, isn't it? I am intrigued by Wesley, but
same big time. I wanted to see him at Stoke. I wanted to see him have half an hour at Stoke, and we haven't seen him for that long, Dan. And he's been to hell and back with his injury. So I think Villa were fair to him to give him a real good crack this season to push Watkins. And before his injury as well, he was starting to show signs of a decent striker. He scored his goal at Burnley.
Yeah,
he's out for 18 months. So I've been dying to see more of him. I'd love to see him start on Saturday. I really would. I mean, is he going to get that start? I don't know. Everyone knows what Watkins is about. He's fit as a fiddle. You know what you're getting with Watkins, didn't you? But I want to see what Wesley's about. So I'd love to see him start on Saturday. He deserves a crack. But in terms of depth, I think Keenan Davis does need to go out on loan. I think he really does. Stoke boss Michael O'Neill said he was in for him at the weekend. So I expect that to happen. Elsewhere, yeah, striker. It all depends on Wesley. Deansby said this before the last season ended. He said he'll assess Wesley before making any moves on a striker. So I think he's still checking in on that. Tammy Abraham, what's happening with him? We don't know. But yeah, as it stands, Villa are okay with their striking department. They want to give Wesley a crack. And I think later on in the window, we'll see what happens there. But yeah, we'll see what Wesley's got in the coming weeks.
It's so tough for them to assess Wesley, isn't it? Because he comes on against Stoke and gets himself sent off. Exactly. Nottingham Forest today gets cancelled. You've then got Bristol on Saturday and Sevilla for the last friendly, which you'd assume you play your strongest side, which I think there's a comment about along those lines, which we'll come to shortly.
Yeah.
So there's not really any opportunity for Wesley to prove himself. So how can he be prove himself to be a backup striker or better than that? Who's not to say that he's good enough to come in and make a role alongside Watkins out of nowhere? If he can't even prove himself in pre-season, it's all well and good saying, oh, well, we'll assess him. But if there's no opportunities to do so, then the window's closed. You're kind of stuck with this player and you've got no backup as well.
It's one of them, though. If you're bringing a striker in, I mean, he's going to play second fiddle to Watkins, isn't he? That's a given, isn't it? So I think Wesley is happy to do that now. He's slowly working himself back. He'll want the odd minutes. I think he'll play in the Carabao Cup, maybe. He'll start there and go from there and hopefully get some minutes in and make an impact from off the bench. So, I mean, Villa going out to buy a striker, who's going to come in, because Watkins is the main man, isn't he?
I suppose the perk is as well that he's very different in style of play to Watkins, so he offers you something totally different.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out, though.
Oh, we've got you back now. We've lost you there for a second. Yeah, so I was saying that Wesley, he offers something totally different to what Watkins brings you.
Yeah, Wesley drops deep, doesn't he? And he's a big old presence, so he likes to put himself about, but he put himself back too much on Saturday at Stoke. But yeah, different option, and he'll look for minutes and making an impact from off the bench to begin with.
Just over 10 minutes to go on our quickfire Q&A. There's over 200 people watching now, so keep those comments coming. There's loads to get through. Kevin Pryor says, will Martinez, Mings and Jack be back for Bristol City? You know, the big one there that everyone's looking at is Jack. What about the other two? Because they've got to play pre-season at some point.
Well, they have, yeah. Martinez, not so much. He had a big Copa America camp, didn't he? He played loads of games down there. I think he'll be fine for a rest. I think he'll be back for Sevilla the following week. Yeah, Tora Mings and Jack, I can't see them being ready for Bristol, perhaps. I think they are due back August 2nd, so that's next week, as per Premier League guidelines. They allow 3 weeks off for players after international tournament, so it's up to the players' discretion for them to come back.
Right, okay.
So if they want to come back early, they can do, but I haven't been told otherwise yet. So I can't see them being back for Saturday. Could be wrong, but they are due back next week, so it's whether they want to come back earlier than scheduled. So, but all three of them, I expect them to play against Sevilla next week.
That's the second question from Joanne Spear. She says, do you think the main players will be playing against Sevilla? So a first team, essentially. It's your last pre-season game, and it does feel like it's all a little bit rushed to get these Euros players and Copa America players in. Like Douglas Luiz is with the Olympics, isn't he, I think? And yeah, half of your first team of last season that will be starting is still missing in the final game of pre-season. And I know that's just the way it's gone, but that does concern me a little bit heading into... It's not a make or break season, but Villa have got big aspirations this season. It feels like the preparation is slightly off if kind of three or four of your first team haven't even played a pre-season game.
Yeah, I mean, it's off for a number of clubs in the Premier League. I mean, a number of clubs, players have been at Euros and Copa America, that they haven't returned back yet. So it's no different at Villa. But yeah, I think Villa's strongest 11 will play it. We'll start against Sevilla. And then it's on to Watford then straight away the following week. So yeah, it's all coming thick and fast now, Dan, and we'll get a good idea of Villa's squad against Sevilla next Saturday at Villa Park, and when everyone's back down there. So yeah.
There's a few people asking about James Ward-Prowse. James says that he's got a friend down in Southampton who says that the club have made a move. You always love this kind of story, don't you, in a transfer window, that someone knows someone who knows someone at the club who says that something's happening and it's not true. Do we know anything on Ward-Prowse? I know that he was missing in a friendly the other day, but he was injured. So
yeah,
that's as far as that went.
Yeah, nothing apart from the early reports where Villa inquired about his availability, and Southampton told Villa to get lost, basically. He's not for sale. So that's that one. I've heard nothing since, to be honest, Dan. So I can't see any movements happening there.
There's loads of comments. We've got just Bailey. Bailey update. Bailey coming in, ? What's the latest with Bailey? Tell us all, mate.
Well, his stepdad's coming out in the press over in Bild in Germany. Really credible newspaper over there. He said, yeah, we are in talks with Villa. Leverkusen have a valuation of £30 million, €34 million. Villa are yet to meet that. They have €5 million off the valuation. So talks are continuing. Obviously, his stepdad is Bailey's advisor as well. So it's clear to see there's a real interest there. Only thing is now, I think Wolves and Leicester are credited with an interest as well. So bit of a tug of war, as it were, but Villa are in pole position to sign him should they meet that valuation. Simple as that. So yeah, I think he's number one target now for Villa. That's a given. And yeah, just need to meet Leverkusen's valuation. What did he say? His quote was, "It's all about the money now." So it's up to Villa whether Villa stump up with it. And should they do that, I think Bailey will be a Villa player. But until then, nothing's going to happen.
There's a few questions about the youth players. We've got Daniel Wall says, what about Barry and Brad Young? And a further comment from Craig says, we'd love to see Brad Young get a chance. These are the backup options, aren't they, in the youth academy that can step up and give us some more depth up front with Watkins, Wesley, and then one of the youngsters if Davis goes.
Yeah.
Is that what's likely to happen, that Davis is the more experienced, will go out and get a full season while someone like Brad Young and Louis Barry stick around and they become next season's Keenan Davis, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, both of them are 18. They're very, very slight. I can't imagine them leading the line on their own, to be honest with you. Barry's had really good success off the left, where Grealish kind of plays. But interesting to see Louis Barry in the Forest preparation video on Villa TV. Because obviously he wasn't in the Stoke squad, was he? But he was back amongst the first team group for training the other day. And obviously Brad Young as well and Barry, they both played in a behind closed door friendly against Hensford at Ballymore. I think Villa 1-8-1 that one. That was under 23 side the other day. So they've got some match minutes in their legs. And yeah, two very good, prospects who want to be knocking on the first team door. I think a loan move suits them both. If they want to head out, I think first team football, playing men's football, is so important now. I think both of them are perhaps above the under 23 level football. They need to go out on the stripes and play against the proper defences, you know what I mean? And not youth team ones. So yeah, really a lot like them both. I mean, Brad Young's got a bit of Jamie Vardy about him, really liked him last season. He actually outscored Louis Barry. He scored 21 compared to Barry's 20 last season. And Barry, a frightening talent for me. I've watched him at close quarters, very direct, runs at your defender relentlessly. And I was a bit surprised up at Stoke. I mean, Aaron Ramsey, Villa think highly of Aaron Ramsey, Jacob's younger brother. He's more of a number 10, but he played out on the left against Stoke. And I think that was coined out for perhaps Barry. He's really done well on the left-hand side in Villa teams gone by last season. So, but yeah, Villa got an academy brimming with talent. And I'd like to see him brought through. Carabao Cup's early rounds. I'd like to see a few of them play there as well. But I think loan move suits them. I think Watkins is going to have the load in terms of striking minutes this season. So I think, yeah, we'll see what happens with the young lads. But I envisage Keenan Davies going out on loan. I think he needs to play week in, week out. I've said this countless times. I think he needs to develop even more now. These are minutes end of games and doing nothing for him. So I expect him to go out on loan. I think Stoker, the favourites, to sign him. So that's a deal that can be done. And Louis Barry and Brad Young, we'll see what happens with them. It's really interesting to watch them over the next few weeks.
Follow up to that then from Chris. He says, why don't we send Wesley out on loan so he can get properly fit? Why is all the talk about Davies going out?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Wesley needs to be around. I mean, Wesley could go out on loan. That's easily viable, but I think he wants to. I think Villa want to keep him around the camp. He's had a horrendous year, hasn't he? And Villa want to keep him involved. If he gets sent out on loan, I mean, Wesley probably questioning himself there, thinking, is my Villa career done here? Because I got injured. They don't want me around the place. So I think Keenan Davies going out on loan makes more sense than Wesley. I think between the two of them, I think Wesley could probably press a bit more than Keenan does. Keenan's more of a back-to-goal merchant than Wesley, whereas Wesley can run in behind. But Watkins is the main man. And like you say, there's not too many options there, is there, I mean, to come in. We haven't got a Tammy to come in or anyone like that to really push Watkins at present. So yeah, Watkins is down for a big season, let's hope so.
Yeah, I suppose Wesley gives you something different, like we've said, and he's closer to becoming a first-team player more so than Davies is, I guess. And as much as some people might not agree, there was glimpses of him being a decent footballer at times, Wesley, before he got injured. Cost us 22 million.
Exactly.
Like, something that the club saw in him that made him cost 22 million. So this is not like some throwaway bum footballer from non-league that we're all just going to go, oh, he's clearly not good enough. Our scouts and our recruiting department that we all speak of so highly saw something in Wesley that was worth breaking a club record fee for, I think it was at the time,
yeah,
just before Mings. So I don't think they'll just throw that all away and say, oh, well, you got injured, so go out on loan now. But fitness is key and he's got to build it up somehow. And if getting 10 minutes off the bench here and there and the Premier League does that, then I suppose that works for Villa and works for Wesley and works for Watkins as well. So yeah, it makes sense that you send Davies out of the three, but it's either or for me, isn't it, really? Exactly. They both offer different things.
It's a decision that needs to be made by Smith and Johan Langer, for sure.
Yeah. There's an interesting comment here from Bradley Birch, who says, I reckon we should go for Saint-Maximin from Newcastle. Anyone else agree? The only worry would be his injury record. How much do you think it'd be to pry him away from Newcastle? He's the star man, isn't he?
He's their star man, yeah. Newcastle willing to sell. It's not costing an extortionate amount. I think another Premier League winger who's on Villa's radar, Dwight McNeil, who we know about. So Villa really are interested in him. So same situation, he's Burnley star man. He's only 21, McNeil, as well, but he's got so many Premier League appearances now. He's a real pedigree. So keep tabs on that one, I guess. And I think some things with rating highly, it's just, I think, Burnley unwilling to sell. So yeah, the market's a bit dead at the moment, Dan. Like I've said, I think it starts hotting up in August when squads start. I mean, teams start getting the squads together and that's when players become available. So it's all quiet at the moment in terms of transfers and just this Leon Bailey deal that needs to get done, I guess.
Speaking of Leon Bailey, Sy says he's Anwar El Ghazi on his way if Bailey comes in. There was talk of Roma, wasn't there, and Mourinho interest at some point. I don't know whether there was much truth in that, but I seem to remember seeing a figure of 15 million or 50 million euros, I think it was.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd do with El Ghazi, you know. I feel like him and Traore are adequate. Well, there's a point in the Premier League where they're both starting for us, so I think they're definitely adequate backup in the Premier League, and you've improved on them with signing Bailey, and obviously Buendia can play out wide as well. I think if you're building a squad, which is what Villa are trying to do, then you keep them around unless a club comes in with serious interest and it's a improved deal that Villa can't turn down.
Yeah, it's a squad game, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's going to be a busy old season, long old season. And when our guys are coming to the team last season, he scored 10 Premier League goals. So let's not forget that. But the only point there is that he entered in the last 2 years of his deal. I think his deal runs out in 2023. There's no deal on the table for him to extend his stay. So it does point towards an uncertain future, I guess. But listen, Dean Smith rates him so highly, as does his peers at Villa. So it'll be up to him to prove a big point again this season. I think Anwar has to do that every season going into a new season. So, is he allowed?
Time's up, but I'll tell you what, Ash, we're going into overtime, mate. I hope you're all right with that. Yeah, we're going into overtime, extra time, not another half an hour, though, because there's loads of questions and big talking points we've not got to.
Yeah.
So Kevin Pryor, we'll try and rattle through them a bit quicker. Kevin Pryor says, what about Will Hughes from Watford? Is there any truth in that? I just remember Ben Foster on his GoPro saying, don't go to Villa, Will. So there's some kind of interest there. He might just be reacting to paper talk, though. I'm not sure about Will Hughes. It feels like if this was 2017, I'd be all over it, but I feel like we're past that at this point. No disrespect to Will Hughes, who's a better footballer than I'll ever be.
Yeah. Yes, I am. I mean, I've heard nothing concrete regarding that. I think Craig Shakespeare knows him well from his little stint at Watford. So, but yeah, I've heard nothing of that. I don't think they'll need a player of that ilk, to be fair. I think left-footed player, playmaker kind of player. I mean, McGinn, he's like that, I guess. And I can't see Villa going there, to be honest, Dan. I really can't.
No, I don't know. He'd be coming in as backup, wouldn't he, for me? And I don't know what his cost would be, but it doesn't seem like money well spent to me. But if it happens, you get behind him, and that's how transfers work. There's a few questions asking about Morgan Sanson. James says, if he's fit, does he save us money in midfield? Is he the backup addition that we're kind of forgetting about?
Well, I guess we don't know, do we? We haven't seen too much of him, Dan. He's still out with a knee injury, as far as I'm concerned, and his pre-season's been a bit, non-existent, hasn't it? So he'll take time to come back to shape. So £40 million buying back in January, started the first few, struggled with the pace of it. I think he told Dean Smith training was pretty hard for him. So yeah, real big season. Really intrigued to see how he gets on once he's fit. But he can save us a fortune in midfield. He's a player who's got plenty of Champions League appearances, highly thought of, French under-21 international. He can do both roles, number 6, number 8 and number 10. So yeah, really intrigued to see how he gets on, but this pre-season hasn't helped. I mean, he picked up his knee injury against Fulham in the April. So that's a bit of a concern. But yeah, we'll see where he's at once he's fit. I mean, I haven't had a chance to ask Villa about any injuries yet. Villa aren't doing any press. So we'll see with that one. But yeah, a bit of a disruptive pre-season for the Frenchman, but hoping he can come back and prove a point.
A few questions about Alvarez from Argentina. This is quite an interesting one, isn't it? Because a lot of the reports coming out from the Argentina side was that this was that Villa were in for him, and it all sounded pretty concrete from their end. And then there's the talk of Leon Bailey comes up, who plays in the same position.
Yeah.
And you wonder whether Alvarez was a target at one point, and then Bailey comes up as being available, and we put all our eggs in that basket as being the better option of the two, or that the reports in Argentina were never true in the first place, and we weren't ever in for Alvarez. This is the transfer window is so. Things change so quickly, and it's always so many different variables to it that it could be true that we were interested and moved on, or the interest was never there in the first place. But it doesn't seem to be that it's going to happen now, because that position can only be filled by one player. Bailey seems to be the number one target, and then you've got Traore plays the right side, Buendia plays the right side. Mm. There's no room for Alvarez then, is there?
No, it's hard to get information from Argentina. I mean, we'll never know the true ins and outs of the Alvarez interest then. Even if there is one. But, I mean, reports came from Argentina about Villa's interest, about buyout clauses and talks over in the UK with his agency. But we'll never know, Dan. I think it's all shifted towards Leon Bailey now. That's been quite strong. His stepdad's come out and confirmed that as well this week. So I think Villa are pressing ahead with that one. I think want to get that one done. I think it fits the profile Villa are looking for. Mentioned this player banging form last season as well. Only 23. Yeah, he fits the bill. So we'll see if that deal can get done over the line.
Yeah, it just seems like the money thing, doesn't it, at the moment? That if they want 35 million and we've gone in and offered 28 plus add-ons or something, then just pay the 35, get the player that you want and move on. Pete Bainbridge says, will we replace John Terry? I think you did a little bit of a Facebook Live yesterday or the day before, whenever it broke, of Terry leaving the club. Do we replace him, or is Craig Shakespeare the natural replacement to step up and just be a three-man team?
Well, yeah, I mean, Villa prepared for this well in advance 12 months ago when Shakespeare arrived. They knew Terry was on his way at some stage, and Terry made the decision this week, obviously. I think Villa will look to replace him. I think they're quite light on the training ground at present. Obviously, Terry leaving. Mark Delaney stepped up in recent days, and I've seen Millie Jedinak on there as well. So, yeah, but nothing imminent. I'm not pushed for that. They've got Shakespeare, who's, I can't stress his importance at Villa beyond the scenes since he's arrived. I mean, he overtook Terry in terms of dictating it all, kind of thing. So I think Terry took a lot from Shakespeare as well. So, yeah, such a good appointment that was 12 months ago, Dan. Craig Shakespeare, when you watch him behind closed doors in the warm-ups, he's so visibly involved with the players and that. So that was a great appointment. So Villa already replaced Terry, as it were. But I think they'll get another one in into the coaching departments. Set-piece coach we mentioned. Someone to work with the defenders, because Richard O'Kelly's very strong, very forwards based on that. So, Villa not pressed to replace Terry imminently, mate. So we'll see.
Yeah, my opinion's changed on John Terry over the years. I've never liked him growing up, just as his character and stuff, but I like the bloke now. I would hate to say it a few years ago, but even the way he's left, I think it's a nice kind of, not classy way to leave, but if a manager job will come up for John Terry this season. Someone will come in for him at the top end of the Championship or bottom end of the Premier League and say, look, there's a job here at Derby County with Lampard and stuff like that, and then Rooney. Something will come up at some point, and he knows that. So if Villa are riding high in seventh, pushing for the top six come January, and then he leaves, that kind of throws Villa in under the bus a bit, doesn't it? So he's expecting to move at some point, so to kind of wipe his hands of it in July and say, right, I'm going to take a break now and leave. Yeah. That's a nice way to go about it, as much as it maybe leaves Villa with a decision of getting another coaching with just a couple of weeks to go. I'd rather they have this headache now than in January or February or whenever, when we're pushing at the business end of the season. So fair play to him. I hope he does well wherever he ends up next. Where do you think he'll go? Is he kind of quote-unquote good enough to go straight in as a top six Championship club or in the Prem? We've seen Vieira go to Palace and, like I said. Rooney at Derby. Is that something you see happening, or is he going to go in at the lower end, do you think?
I think more high-end. I think I think he'd go Championship. I can see that happening. But yeah, I think he's going to scout around Europe. He'll probably visit Jose in Roma and go over there. And yeah, take a little break. I mean, them draws from Surrey up to Bodymore, got a taxi, you know what I mean? Forget about that, especially when you're not the main man. And like you say, if he's having managerial doubts, or he's having talks, having interest from other clubs, and his mind's not on the Villa 100%, he's done the right thing, hasn't he? So good luck to him. But yeah, I can see him getting a top end job. It all depends on the club willing to gamble on a rookie, as it were. So I think appointing John Terry, you're going to attract players, aren't you? It's a bit of a sexy appointment, isn't it, for clubs? So he's very, I can see him doing well.
There's a lot of kind of debate in our comment section at the moment on Facebook Live about Tammy Abraham, and saying, look, if we need quality up front, you have to pay the money to get that. You know, if Watkins pulls a hamstring, we're screwed, so to speak. But then I just don't see Villa spending that much money of what Chelsea would ask for Tammy Abraham when we know we only play one up front and he's going to be second fiddle.
It's so
difficult to spend that money and say, right, well, you might play 10 games this season.
Exactly. Well, you've seen this throughout the summer, the whole summer, Villa have been linked with Ward-Prowse, Buendia in the end, they've got Bailey, players like that. And there's been no striker chat, has there? No, whatsoever. So that tells you everything about Villa, how Villa want to go at this season. Not interested in signing a striker, is it yet? Tammy Abraham, that's a name that's always going to be linked, given his time at Villa and his availability, because he's not really, he's not rated at Chelsea. It's the bottom line of it. So if Villa want to act on it, they can do in August, I think, late on. But I don't think he's of interest. I think it's all the rest on Watkins. He's a big money move last summer. It's a long-term investment, that is. I think he's going to lead the line. And I think Leon Bailey can play up there. That's what Villa want to get in. Someone who can play a couple of roles and can float around it. Bertrand Traoré can play up there if needed. Smith referenced that as well.
Mm.
And they'll give Wesley a crack as well. So you can't see that happening. Talk about Tammy Abraham. Like you've said, with the winger situation, who's going to come in and play second fiddle?
Yeah.
Not many. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens in the window. It's evolving all the time.
You've heard Smith talk in the past about like deals that are too good to be turned away. I think he said it about Martinez that just came up, and when a goalkeeper comes up with that ability, okay, you have to go for it.
Yeah.
If something like that happens with a striker, Chelsea aren't suddenly going to go, oh, all right, 15 million, I'll get Tammy Abraham. But if someone of that level becomes available for that kind of price out of nowhere, last minute deal happens somewhere at the parent club and they move on, then yeah, maybe Villa do go into a striker towards the back end. I think, well, that's too good of an opportunity to miss that we don't sign X player for 18 million. Yep. But if you know that Ollie Watkins is your main man and you've put your big books behind him and he's proved it last year, to then go and sign Tammy Abraham for 40 million plus, he's not going to sit on the bench and be happy with that. He's going to be on a massive contract to do so. Ollie Watkins isn't going to be happy with coming in to be displaced out of the team by Tammy Abraham when he's done nothing wrong. So it upsets the squad dynamic. It's a financial decision that just doesn't make sense. But like I said, to sit here and say Villa aren't interested in a striker, yeah, that might be true as of today. That doesn't mean Villa won't sign a striker this window if something becomes too good to turn down. So we'll wait and see what happens. If something happens, it does. But part of me is a little bit concerned to go into a season with just Watkins and Wesley as your main two strikers. Because even Wesley as a main striker is potentially unfit and unproven. So you're relying on Ollie Watkins' hamstrings to hold up for another 38-game season, which, touch wood, it happens, but you never know. Yeah. We'll talk about Grealish then to leave. Loads of questions at the start of this. We didn't really answer them because we wanted to move on to other things. Because whilst it's a big talking point, there's just a lack of any actual information at the moment. That's the problem with it. There was a little bit of an inkling that he was back from holiday Monday, we all thought. That's now going to be next week and probably not involved at Bristol unless, like you said, he comes back early, which I think McGinn went back early, didn't he? He wasn't due back and then went back from Scotland due to. But he's entitled to his holiday. That's absolutely fair. And the stuff from Man City comes out today, or the Man City end. Basically, anyone associated with the Man City end thinks he's leaving. Anyone associated with the Villa end thinks, well, it could happen, but Villa will offer him a new contract at some point. So he's due back in next week. Villa will sit down with him and have a chat and say, look, we don't want you to go. Here's twice as much money as you were on, whatever it is, five-year deal. And if he doesn't want to leave, he'll sign the contract and stay and everyone's happy. If he says, look, it's time for me to go, and Man City pay the money, he'll go. That's as much as the information that is out there. The only person who knows what's going on is Jack Grealish. No, none of us know him personally. He's not going to come onto a podcast and say his thoughts. He's not going to stick it out on Twitter and say, here he is.
I've got Jack on the line.
what are you thinking? So it's just a patient waiting game, isn't it? There'll be news that comes out at some point, kind of to guessing where he is by looking on his Instagram story and going, oh, he's on a plane. Is he off to Manchester? Mm-hmm. Is he in a gym? Where is he? I saw someone saying he's wearing like a Nike shirt and his training photo yesterday on an exercise bike. And I was like, oh, he's not wearing Cappy gear, so he's not a body more. It's like, just relax for a bit. Like, if what happened will happen, we all want him to stay on our end. Of course we do. It's silly to suggest otherwise. But if Man City come in and pay what they want and Jack wants to go, that's the big thing. If Jack wants to go, that's his decision. So we've just got to wait. We've got to be patient, haven't we?
Then it's got to be patient.
It's frustrating.
There's a Twitter storm every day, and it's a bit of a touchy subject at the moment. And yeah, patience, that's all you got to do. I don't think Jack knows what he wants to do yet either. He hasn't sat down with Villa yet, has he? I don't think City have come on strong either, to be fair, to Villa, with any bids or anything like that. That's not happened. So nobody knows, Dan. That's the bottom line of it. I don't think Jack knows himself. I've got a good feeling he stays. I've said that from day one. Based on the project Villa laid out to him last
summer. Nothing's changed since last year, has it? So why go?
And they've kicked on. They have kicked on. I don't care what you say. Villa have kicked on since last summer. And look a different beast now, kind of thing. Look what they did against the big boys last season. So, we'll see. I've got a good feeling he stays. But like I said, I don't think Jack knows what he's doing yet either until we're going to sit down with him.
You say that, but the romantic in me thinks that if I was Jack, I would know what I want. I want to stay at Villa. Do you know what I mean? Like, as much as we don't know for sure what he wants to do, I wouldn't, as a Villa fan, if I was in Jack Grealish's position, I wouldn't need to see that contract from Villa to know if I wanted to stay or not. The figure that they give me, the bonuses or the whatever it is, the contract length, I wouldn't need any of that to say, all right, I'll stay now. I'd know that if I wanted to stay or not.
Yeah, but his agents are saying you can be a global superstar, you can win the Champions League, you can win the Ballon d'Or with Man City. You know what I mean? You can do everything you want to do at Man City. You win the Premier League titles. You can win the Player of the Year. You know what I mean? They're trying to sell him that, I guess. And he can do that. And that's going to make you think, I don't care who you are, you're thinking, don't want to go and win it all, or don't want to start at Villa and really, I mean, graft there and work my way up again and try and push Villa back into the European places. It's one or the other. But I'm with you, Dan. I think that'll mean more to him. It's just whether he sees, he takes his Villa head off and sees it as a career. It's his job.
Yeah.
It's his job. He can be a global superstar, do you know what I mean? At Man City. But at least...
I suppose the counterpoint to that would be that maybe he will never be as appreciated by another fan base as he is with Villa, though, and he'll never have a connection with whatever club he goes on to succeed with.
No.
He could go and win 5 Premier League titles with Man City in the next 5 years, and that'd be a brilliant achievement for him. But he's never going to feel that same love that he's got with the Villa that he would with Man City.
I can't imagine him playing against us at Villa Park.
No, I can't. Obviously, at some point, it could well happen that he leaves, whether it's this year or not. I can't picture him in another club shirt, like even seeing him in an England shirt. Like, I know England is his country, and my country, even that I support. But even seeing him in claret and blue just looks weird to me. So, I've seen him mocked up in Man City kits and Tottenham kits and Arsenal kits and all sorts on social media. And it just looks horrible. It looks weird. But I do take the point that it's a career and a job and all that kind of thing. But we've seen with Grealish, we've heard stories from him and people around him that he's just a kid that likes playing football. At the end of the day, he's on the playground, isn't he? When he's on the football pitch, that's all it is. My argument a few weeks ago was whether he would play every minute for Man City. If you're in a bit part of Man City and you pick up a medal at the end of the season, but didn't really do much, is that any good? And people in the comment section of our podcast said, well, the first point you've got wrong there is that he will play every minute for City. If he goes to Man City, he'll be one of the best players there. I don't know whether that's true or not. I don't know where he goes straight in. My personal opinion is, yeah, absolutely, he's good enough to go there straight in and play every single minute. But in a Pep Guardiola team that rotates a lot, is that the case that he goes in and plays every single minute? I'm not so sure. If he's not getting the game time, I think that frustrates someone like Jack Grealish, who only cares about playing 90 minutes of football. As much as his agent and family or whoever will be in his ear saying, look, you can be this, you can be that, you can be on posters of this, you can be on the front cover of FIFA or whatever it is that being a global superstar brings you. That's not playing football, is it? That's not being a superstar in front of Man City, in front of Villa. So I would stay for Villa. There's a comment here from Rob Henry. He says, if you were offered a top job at Man City as their top media guy, would you pack up reporting on Villa? No. I would still rather, if I was obviously I'm not working for Villa doing this, but if I was working for Villa and I was offered twice, I suppose it's different, isn't it? I was about to say, if I'm offered twice the money, I still turn it down, but twice the money for me isn't the same as twice the money for someone who's already a millionaire.
Yeah.
The difference between 100K and 150K, yeah, it's obviously a lot of it. It's a big improvement, but it won't make that much difference on Jack Grealish's life as it would for me to be on 25K or 35K or whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe I would take it for the money, but I'd still always have that affinity that I'd rather be at a Villa. So I don't know. If I was a footballer, though, it's different being a media guy and a footballer. You know, I'm not loved as a media person. You are loved as a footballer by that crowd that you go out and play for. So if I was a Villa fan playing football for Villa, I would never leave. I wouldn't care about playing for anyone else. The money wouldn't be a problem for me. I'd play for 5,000. So I'll say 5,000, but that's nothing. But when these big deals are going around, that's why I wouldn't need to see Villa's contract to go, oh, I'm not so sure about that. Oh, it's only 5 years. Oh, I can get 6 for Man City. It's only 140K. Oh, I can get 200 for Man City. 140K is plenty. I'll absolutely take that. I can stay at Villa and be a living legend here. So I would stay. That's as far as I can take it. He might leave if that's what he wants to do. All power to him. Slightly off topic, but not so much because I don't want to get too into it. If he does leave, how will you view him?
Interesting, isn't it?
If he wins? Will you be happy for him if he wins a Premier League with Man City? Or will you think, oh, yeah, that's our boy doing well? Will you care if he's doing well? Will you still see him as a Villa legend? Is he a Villa legend?
It's interesting, isn't it? I don't really talk about it too, if he does go, but yeah, interesting, isn't it? If he doesn't make that decision, what it would say to me is he doesn't believe in Villa's project. He doesn't believe in it no more. That's why he wants to move on. Obviously, he believed in it 12 months ago. Villa have kicked on since then. He doesn't believe in it anymore, so he wants to move on. But yeah, I don't know to that question. Really good question, that, Dan. Don't know how I'd feel.
Hopefully we don't need to understand how we view Jack Grealish when he goes. To comment here saying that, my little rant there, that's only my opinion. Everyone's is different, and that's why we don't know what Jack Grealish is up to. I could say I want to stay. You could say no, I'd leave. Jack Grealish could be doing exactly the same thing in his head. So it's hard to say what he's thinking. My last question there, I wouldn't care what he does after Villa. He's not a Villa player anymore, so he's just another footballer. Yeah, I'd still see his little highlight reels on Twitter or Match of the Day and think, oh, what a lovely, classy footballer. But I wouldn't think, oh yeah, Jack Grealish has won the Champions League for Man City. What a lovely achievement for him, because it's Man City have won the Champions League, not Jack Grealish FC. Not Jack Grealish FC, and wherever he goes next, it won't be that. So, yeah, local boy goes on to do well, but he's not a Villa player, so... I'll be the Amy Buendia fan club if Jack Grealish leaves. I'm focused on the players that we've got, not the ones that have left. I don't care what they do after.
100%. Dan, the show goes on. I think we'll look to move on to bigger and better things. 100%. We'll have the rumours every summer then either. So.
Yeah, and we'll have 100 million plus to spend as well. So it's not all bad. But we'll talk about that if he ever goes, which I'm still hoping he won't. And
I've got a good feeling he stays as well.
Cheers, Stuck. And we'll talk about it next week at some point. We'll do another podcast. I think that's it, Ash. We've planned to do 18 minutes. We've done 40. So thanks, everyone, for all the questions. We've made this a big bumper episode and a big Q&A with all things Aston Villa covered. Thanks, Ash, for your time. Appreciate it.
No, thanks, everyone, for joining. Yeah, really. Yeah, makes my day, this.
Stuff. Thanks for all your questions, guys. I was going to say we'll report on everything coming from Nottingham Forest, but that's been cancelled. So we'll be here with all the latest Bristol City reaction on Saturday. Stay tuned. Thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you for listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please do let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode, but until then, up the Villa.